Hey, welcome to another edition of the Cross Encounters podcast. I am your host, Tony Miano. And for more information about my ministry, you can find it at our website, crossencountersmin.com. Again, that is crossencountersmin.com. There you'll find my blog, links to the YouTube channel, and a link to our sermon audio page called Pulpit and Streets. Just this morning, I uploaded a brief audio, about 10 minutes or so, of the remarks I made this Saturday at the memorial service of Dorothy DeJesus. Dorothy's son, Matt, is a very good friend of mine, and a few years ago I got to meet his mom, Dorothy, immediately fell in love with this elderly saint. She came to faith in Christ just, probably 4 years before she went home to be with the Lord, but even at her age, her faith was like that of a child. She loved to learn. She loved to sing worship songs, and she loved to watch my open air preaching videos. But Matt shared with me over this last weekend that Dorothy would get so mad watching my open air preaching videos. Not mad at me, but mad at anybody who would mistreat me or threaten me or call me names or say rude things to me. For that and other reasons, I really looked to Dorothy as a mom. And so while I mourn her passing, I also rejoice in knowing that she is now and forever in the presence of her Lord and Savior, her Messiah, Jesus Christ. So you'll be able to hear that audio there at our sermon audio page, Pulpit and Streets, along with about 400 other audios of open-air sermons, pulpit sermons, one-to-one conversations, and some other stuff as well. So I hope you'll avail yourself to the website, crossencountersmin.com, that you'll go there often and be encouraged. Well, as with the last podcast, this one is inspired by a recent newspaper article as well. I'm going to be reading the article verbatim here in just a moment or two, because it's not a very long article, but for context reasons, I want to read the whole thing. It is in the it's in the Friday, January 8th, 2016 edition of the Daily News. It is in the Faith section of the Daily News, and it's actually an Associated Press article reprinted in the Daily News, and the article is written by Rebecca Santana. The headline reads, Supreme Court Judge Dismisses Concept of Religious Neutrality. So let's hear what the article has to say here. This is out of Metairie, Louisiana. I'm sure I probably botched the name of that city. If there is a single person from Metairie, Louisiana listening today, please forgive me. The article reads as follows. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia said Saturday the idea of religious neutrality is not grounded in the country's constitutional traditions and that God has been good to the U.S. exactly because Americans honor him. Scalia was speaking at a Catholic high school in the New Orleans suburb of Metairie, Louisiana. Scalia, who was appointed by President Ronald Reagan in 1986, is the court's longest-serving justice. He has consistently been one of the court's more conservative members. He told the audience at Archbishop Rummel High School that there is, quote, no place, end quote, in the country's constitutional traditions for the idea that the state must be neutral between religion and its absence. Quote, to tell you the truth, there is no place for that in our constitutional tradition. Where did that come from? End quote, he said. Quote, to be sure, you can't favor one denomination over another, but can't favor religion over non-religion? End quote. He also said there is, quote, nothing wrong, end quote, with the idea of presidents and others invoking God in speeches. He said God has been good to America because Americans have honored him. Scalia said during the September 11 attacks, he was in Rome at a conference. The next morning, after a speech by President George W. Bush in which he invoked God and asked for his blessing, Scalia said many of the other judges approached him and said they wished their presidents or prime ministers would do the same. Quote, God has been very good to us. That we won the revolution was extraordinary. The Battle of Midway was extraordinary. I think one of the reasons God has been good to us is that we have done him honor. Unlike other countries of the world that do not even invoke his name, we do him honor. In presidential addresses, in Thanksgiving proclamations, and in many other ways, end quote, Scalia said. Quote, there is nothing wrong with that, and do not let anyone tell you that there is anything wrong with that, end quote, he added. Scalia's comments Saturday come as the court prepares to hear arguments later this year in a case that challenges part of President Barack Obama's health care law and whether it adequately shields faith-based hospitals, colleges, and charities from having to offer contraceptive coverage to their employees. Scalia is often a lightning rod for controversy on the court. In December, he came under fire for comments he made during an affirmative action case, questioning whether some black students would benefit from going to a, quote, slower track school, end quote, instead of Texas's flagship campus in Austin. All right, and that's the end of the article. Now, there was a particular phrase, a particular line, a particular sentence that was mentioned a couple of times by the author, Rebecca Santana, and Scalia was quoted as saying it on a couple of occasions. I really want to focus on one sentence for this edition of the podcast. It's when Scalia said, I think one of the reasons God has been good to us is that we have done him honor. Now, a little bit about Antonin Scalia. He's 79 years old. As the article indicated, he is the longest serving Supreme Court justice at this present time, with 30 years as a member of the highest court. He is married to his wife, Maureen, for 56 years. Together, they have 9 children. And he is of the Roman Catholic tradition. As the article said, he is one of, if not the most conservative Supreme Court justices in the United States Supreme Court. His record will surely reflect that. But like so many Americans, Antonin Scalia has erred in his thinking, believing that God is happy with the United States, that God has done good to the United States because we are a country that honors him. Well, I know to my Christian friends, at least I hope to my Christian friends, I'm not saying anything new, I'm not saying anything surprising or overly provocative when I say that the United States of America is not a good country. There is not a good country in the world today. There has never been a good country in the world, just like there have never been any good human beings walking the planet, but for one, the God-man, Jesus Christ. There is nothing that our country does or has done that commends itself to God. There is nothing that our nation has done or is doing or will do that earns the goodness of God. But yet many Americans, believing we are the greatest nation on the planet, and I would hazard a guess in some respects that is absolutely true. Our country has bailed the world out of more than one world war. But that doesn't make us good. War is a byproduct of sin. People want to kill one another. And this idea that even the founding of our nation in some way pleased God, in the sense that there was something we did by founding the United States, by coming up with our Constitution, by coming up with our Declaration of Independence, by fighting the Revolutionary War, that in some way that earns our nation God's respect or God's blessing. Look, the founding of our nation was an act of rebellion. It was an act of rebellion. the people in the colonies decided that they were being taxed unfairly, that they should have proper taxation with proper representation, and if they were not going to receive that, then they were going to rebel. Now, that is certainly oversimplifying the reasons for the Revolutionary War. I understand that. There are going to be people who are going to comment on this podcast who are going to be very much up in arms just for the mere fact that I've dared to suggest that the United States of America was born out of sinful rebellion. But be that as it may, I know there were other issues involved than the issue of taxation without representation. But the wars we have fought have not commended us to God. The scientific achievements, the advancements in medicine have not commended us to God. Our nation's desire to be the world's police force has not commended us to God. The fact that we are the richest nation in many ways on the planet does not commend us to God. The fact that for the moment we still have freedoms, such as the freedom of speech, does not commend us to God. There's nothing about our nation that would cause God to pour out his blessing on this nation as if he owed it to us as a reward for the goodness of our country. And contrary to what the Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia believes and has said, our country does not honor God. Our country should remove "In God We Trust" off its money. Our country should remove "One Nation Under God" from its pledge, because they aren't true statements. They are lies. Now, there are certainly Christians who want our nation to be one nation under God, of course. What Christian wouldn't want their country to be a Christian nation? And what Christian wouldn't want its nation to live and act and govern by the standard "In God We Trust"? Of course. But the reality is those things are not happening, and they have not happened from the foundation of our country. Our presidents have not honored God by invoking his name, unless that president was a born-again follower of Jesus Christ, and we have had very few of those. President George W. Bush asking for the Lord's blessing did not honor God after the September 11th attacks. This was a president who believed that Islam is a great religion. There's nothing that President Barack Obama has done or said in which he has mentioned God that brings honor to God. This is the man who asked God to bless Planned Parenthood, the most barbarous organization the world has ever known. And our non-Christian president, Barack Obama, has the audacity to profane God, to blaspheme God, by asking him to rain down blessing on an organization that exists solely for the murder of unborn children. Everything else they do is a facade. We do not honor God in this nation. We light up our White House in rainbow colors, robbing God of his glory, using his bow in the sky to, in a blasphemous way, to celebrate the most depraved and wicked forms of sexual immorality human beings can come up with. No, our nation doesn't honor God. We kill our children. We laugh and mock at his moral law. Our nation calls evil good and good evil. No. In fact, God laughs at our country. Psalm chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. "Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us." Is that not the United States of America? Is that not the United States, my friends? Constantly trying to burst their cords apart and cast away their cords from us, the cords being under the rule and sovereignty of God Almighty, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our nation doesn't seek relationship with God. Our nation doesn't seek to be submissive to God. Our nation foolishly, continually tries to seek independence from God. And they believe they have it. And so what is God's response? Picking up in verse 4 of Psalm 2, "He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, 'As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill.' I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.'" God has been patient with the United States. God is good. And everything he does is good, whether blessing or cursing, whether patience and kindness or swift and terrible wrath. God is good. God is long-suffering. God is perfect in every one of his characteristics. God is perfect in every one of his attributes. And the fact that God has not already judged our nation has nothing whatsoever to do with the fact that the United States has honored God, because the United States does not honor God. He is patient, he is loving, he is merciful, he is kind, he is good. And the day will come when he will break the United States with a rod of iron and dash this nation into pieces like a potter's vessel. The fact that God's wrath has not completely fallen upon this country yet does not mean it won't. The fact that God is slow to anger does not mean that God is not angry with this nation. He is. He is. Because our nation has rebelled against him. Psalm 2 concludes with these verses, 10 through 12. "Now therefore, O king, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." The only way the United States will ever be truly blessed by God is if this nation repents of its sin and takes and find refuge in Christ. But anything short of that, we are simply awaiting the wrath of God to fall upon this nation. And I believe that the wrath of God is falling on this nation. I believe the wrath of God, the wrath of God's abandonment, is on this nation. And we see that in Romans chapter 1. No, the United States is not spoken of specifically. The United States is not mentioned or alluded to anywhere in the Word of God. That should tell you something, people. It's not a single future prophecy that talks about the United States, yet Americans think this country will be around forever. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, listen. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Homosexuality in all of its forms is contrary to nature. It's contrary to the design of God. It is not love. It is licentiousness. It is depravity. It is the result of a debased mind. And our country gives hearty approval to such practices by lighting up the White House in the colors of the rainbow. Yes, God's wrath is already on this nation. As God slowly removes his hands of restraint, allowing us in this country to have as a people what we want, evil, all the while calling that evil good. And God sits in heaven and he laughs at the United States. God laughs. God does not love the United States. He holds the United States in derision. And the only hope for this nation is if the people of this nation repent and believe the gospel. The gospel that God the Father sent his Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man and without sin. He was born of a virgin, just as the prophet Isaiah declared more than 700 years before his birth. He lived a perfect life. He perfectly fulfilled the law of God. His life was perfectly righteous in every way, in thought, word, and deed. He lived that perfect life for some 33 years, a life that you and I cannot live for a mere 33 seconds. Certainly, probably not that long. And then, at the appointed time, he voluntarily went to the cross. Yes, it was the Roman government, another debased, wicked government, who carried out the act. Yes, it was the Jewish people who demanded his execution. But they were all merely instruments in the hands of another, for it pleased God the Father to crush God the Son under the full weight and fury of his just wrath against sin. And why would God do that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. He shed his innocent blood on that cross, taking upon himself the punishment sinners like you and I rightly deserve for our sins against God. God the Father made him, God the Son, who knew no sin, to become sin on our behalf, so that through him we might receive the righteousness of God. On that great and terrible day, when the clouds darkened and the earth shook, and Jesus cried out in a loud voice with one of his last breaths, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?" God poured out his wrath on his innocent Son. He looked upon his perfect, precious, and priceless Son as if he had lived our filthy, sin-stained lives, and in exchange, a great exchange it was. For those who repent and believe the gospel, he looks upon them, and only them, as if they had lived their Son's perfect, precious, and priceless life. And their faith in Jesus Christ is credited to them as righteousness. And they are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. By the grace of God alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus did not only die on that cross, he was buried. But then 3 days later, he forever defeated sin and death when he rose from the grave. He is alive today and he will return at a time of the Father's choosing. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He was with the Father in creation. All things were created by him, through him, and for him. Nothing was ever made that was not made by Jesus Christ. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He is the sinless Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. And he is also the Lion of the tribe of Judah who will judge both the living and the dead. He's God. and he will either be your judge or your savior. And what God commands of you is the same thing he commands of me and all people everywhere, and that's that you repent, that you change your mind about who God is. He is not your divine butler. He is not your genie in a bottle. And you change your mind about who you are. You are not good. You are not God's peer. You are a sinful human being who deserves the wrath of God to crush you into powder. And change your mind about who Jesus Christ is. He's not simply a life preserver thrown out to a drowning man. He is a grappling hook thrown out to a dead person who's floating face down in the water. And unless he drags you in, unless he causes you to be born again, literally born from above, unless there is intervention from an outside source, you will remain dead in your sin, and you will be judged accordingly. But if God causes you to be born again, you will be born again to a living hope. You will no longer look upon the forgiveness of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God and the love of God as things that you deserve because you think you're all that. You would realize that you deserve none of those things. And that it's nothing that you have ever done in righteousness that commends you to God or earns your salvation or your forgiveness of sin. But if he causes you to be born again, if you turn from your sin and put your trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, you will have the assurance of forgiveness. Not on the basis of anything you've done in righteousness, but based entirely on his mercy and his grace. So if you hear his voice today, do not harden your heart. For God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The United States is a proud nation, and much, if not all, of its pride is for wrong reasons. And God, at the present, is at war with the United States, and he laughs at his red, white, and blue enemy. Let that not be your lot. Let that not be your future. Let that not be your eternity. Turn from your sin, and by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior while God has given you time. I want to thank you for listening to another edition of the Cross Encounters podcast. If you have questions, comments, you can email us at info@crossencountersmin.com, info@crossencountersmin.com. We would love to hear from you. From time to time, we will read The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly on the podcast. If you have questions about the gospel you heard, if you have questions about the present state of your soul, we would love to talk to you. So please email us at info@crossencountersmin.com. All right, that's it for now. And until next time, be encouraged, strengthened, and unafraid. Proclaim the gospel.